With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true!
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
This is continuing coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
When you did tell the group chat about the troopers being at that house, nobody asked you to clarify which house you were talking about, correct?
Objection.
I'll allow that. Did anyone ask you to clarify?
Nobody asked me to clarify, that I recall.
In fact, Brian Albert responded with just a question right now. Do you recall that?
Yes, I think that was on the screen you just showed me.
And you responded yes, correct?
Did I get to see all the text or no?
And with the court's permission,
yes.
I'm going to give you the previous page in case you need
it. Just give it to him.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I'll just give you one, and if you need the other, just let me know.
No problem. Thank you.
And again, just look at it silently to yourself and look up at me when you're done.
So am I to assume where you said Brian Albert said right now?
Yeah. Would you like to see that?
So... would that be the last one, and then this is the next one? I'm just making sure.
I understand. I appreciate that. You tell me.
Okay.
If with the court's permission.
Sure.
Thank you. Yep. That's what I was just looking for.
If I may collect the document.
I didn't read the rest of it.
No, take your time, please.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You would agree with me that after you told the group in this group text that the troopers were back out front in front of that house, Brian Albert's response was, right now?
Yes.
And then you said yes, correct?
Yes.
And then Brian Albert replied, okay, correct?
Objection, Your Honor. As of the reading.
Okay. Is that how he replied?
That's what it just said, yes.
All right. Now, at that point, You texted the group that you were trying to get a picture of what you were seeing, correct?
I didn't see that on the text.
And you don't deny that you said that in the text, correct?
Can you show me the text, please?
Oh, sure. Oh, did you say you didn't see it in the
text? I didn't see that, no.
I'm sorry. That's probably because I didn't give it to you. May I push?
Yes. Have you shown those both to Ms. Dallaly?
That's the next page after this one.
I'm showing you two pages.
Okay.
Again, read it to yourself and look up at me when you're done.
Do you have a phone with a flashlight on you?
I don't have a phone on me. If you have a flashlight, I'd be able to see it.
Do you mind?
Oh, just dark. Needs it.
Madam Court Reporter, Mr. Clerk.
Oh,
okay.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jim.
All right, much better. I got it now.
Grab that from you.
Thanks.
Having reviewed that, do you acknowledge that you texted the group that you were trying to get a picture of what you were seeing?
Yes, I said I was going to try to take a photo.
All right. You would agree with me that you were watching what was going on, correct, on February 1st?
No, I just happened to be driving through the neighborhood at that moment.
So you happened to be driving through, and then you texted the group to tell them what you saw, correct?
Yes.
And then you didn't just keep driving up the road and leave the area, did you?
I think I did.
Well,
unless you tell me I went back, I think I did. I said I was going to try to take a picture.
Right. Well, that's my point.
Yeah.
You weren't, just having seen the troopers back out there at that house, in your mind, you still weren't done, correct?
I was going to take a picture to show them, oh, the troopers are outside your house.
Right. So in answer to my question, you weren't done with that scene, correct?
I think I was, because I don't know if I took a picture.
Well,
I think I went through. I mentioned I was going to try to take a picture. I don't know if I took a picture or not.
You didn't intend to be done at that point, correct?
I didn't intend to be done?
Right, because you wanted to take a picture of what was going on.
I was going to take a picture to show them that the troopers were outside in front of the house,
correct?
You
wanted to continue to monitor what was going on, did you not?
I was not monitoring what was going on. I just happened to drive by at that moment.
May we be seen at sidebar?
Okay. What time is it? Is there any objection from counsel if Mr. McKay brings his own phone back in? Should he need a flashlight again?
No objection.
So why don't you do that?
Sure.
Okay.
Hey, Wanda.
You're awesome. Thank you. All right. Thank you.
All rise for the court, please.
Court's back in session. Please be seated.
All right, can we bring Mr. McCabe back in, please?
Witness, please.
Yes. All right, Ms. Giannetti.
Thank you, Ron. Mr. McCabe, I'm going to approach this a little bit of a different way to hopefully make it easier on you and me and the jury. I'd like to hand you, with the court's permission, the four pages that you've already reviewed, just to have you identify them.
Sure.
Thank you.
And I'd just like you to take a look at them and just confirm that's what you've already seen before we took the break.
Yes, these are the ones you showed me earlier.
Thank you, sir. May I approach you?
Yes.
Having reviewed those, sir, does this appear to be an accurate transcription of the sequence and the content of the group text chat within that time frame?
Yes.
I would offer that, Your Honor.
All right, the only concern I have is I don't want to give the jury something they need a flashlight to read.
Well, my next...
So can I see it?
Of course.
Why don't I see counsel, please? Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Bates, if you would display the first page, 2150. How is your distance vision? Are you able to read what's on the screen?
I don't know why it's on blue. This is. Can I have them in front of me while you're
have that?
Displaying
you.
Them?
Yes.
Please. Thank you very much.
And feel free to use the flashlight there.
Yes, thank you.
Here we go.
Oh, yeah, that's much better.
Okay, okay.
Yes.
Now we can all see it. With regard to your initial text exchange that we talked about, can you confirm what you texted at 1:34 and 27 seconds in the afternoon of February 1st of 2022?
Yes. Do you want me to?
Yes.
Oh, troop is back out front, but in front of Asian House. Looks like more has been dug up there for at least there, or at least looks like it.
Okay. Mr. Bates, if you can go down the page to see the responses. Okay. And who was it that responded to your notification that the troopers were back out front?
That would be Brian Albert.
Brian Albert, Senior.
Senior.
And his response was?
Right now.
And that was at 1:34 p.m. and 45 seconds?
Yes, it was.
And you took that to be a question, correct?
Yeah, asking right now, yes.
And we can move to the next one. Yes, 2151, please. Was that blocking you, sir? Yes, please. And you responded to Brian by saying what to his question about right now?
I responded, yes.
And that was at 1:34 p.m. and 56 seconds?
Yes.
You would have still been on scene at that time?
I'm not sure if I was still on scene, but I was obviously, if it was in the area, it must have been in the area, correct?
And the next exchange, Mr. Biggs? And who responded to you?
Brian Albert again.
And his response was?
Okay.
Do you have a memory as to whether or not Brian Albert was on scene at that time or if he was somewhere else?
I don't have a memory of where Brian was at that time.
Given the fact that you're saying troopers are out front and he's asking right now.
I'd assume he's not. I'd assume he's somewhere else, yeah.
Okay, and your response to him, or your response to the group, I should say, was what?
I had to pick up a car, so I drove through.
All right, so this is a little further than we talked about.
I know we're getting to the next
one. So take this one down, please.
Let me just have a moment here, I'm sorry. Second bubble, please, Mr. Bates, on 2152. Okay. Now we're at 1:35 p.m. and 16 seconds, Mr. McKay?
Yes, that's correct.
And your text to the group of you, your wife, Brian, and Nicole Albert is what?
Trying to get pictures.
All right. And at this point, I've asked the next bubble be displayed, and then I'm going to skip to the bubble after that once you see it. The next bubble comes from Brian Albert?
Yes, Brian Albert.
All right, and that's 1:35 and
30. Mr. Iannetti, let him. The screen speaks for itself. If it doesn't, then the witness can.
Of course. What time is that at?
1:35:32.
And his response, does that appear to be a typo?
PK, I'm assuming.
All right. The next bubble after that would be 21:53, please, to talk. And that is from whom?
Brian Albert.
All right. And the time there, are you able to make that out?
Does that say 1:35:34 or 1:38:34?
Whatever it says. If you can't see it, you can't see it. Next.
Sure. And his response was?
Okay.
Does that appear to be correct in the PK?
I'd have to go back and...
Well, the previous one...
Next question.
Sure. All right. We can take that off for a minute. I'd like to just go over two more areas of these group chats with you. You would agree with me that later that same day on February 4th, the four of you, you, your wife, Brian Albert, and Nicole Albert, discussed in that group chat the fact that Michael Proctor was talking to Kerry Roberts over the phone, correct?
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained.
At 3:01, and 48 seconds, you commented on the interview of Michael Proctor with Kerry Roberts, did you not?
Objection.
Sustained.
May we be seen?
I think you can help it. Thank you. So I'd like you to not leave the witness in the dark if there's something that he can have.
What I'm going to do now, sir, is to hand you three more pages and ask if you can identify those.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. McCabe, generally, do you recognize those,
yeah.
Sir? All right, so
I'll
go ahead.
I just marching up, yep.
Okay, go ahead, Mr. Iannetti. Okay.
The pages that I've handed to you and that you now have in your possession, those are from the same group chat that you identified earlier, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And it appears to have the same sequence and content of the group chat as well?
Yes.
I would offer that one.
Over the Commonwealth's objection, again, I'm not sending anything to the jury that they can't read. So let's mark this for identification.
The L for identification.
And the substance of those, each individual one will be question by question.
Understood. So, Mr. Bates, with regard to page 2160, I'm looking for the second bubble.
Do you have an extra copy for me to follow along? No? Or, Jim, was it, Mr. Iannetti, was this in the, what was marked for, you're using that? All right.
I believe we have extra copies, sir.
Thank you.
All right. And if it's a question by question objection, just.
May that be displayed on?
May what be displayed?
I just offered that as an exhibit, and I'm asking.
And I did not take it in. I said the content on a question by question, so it's each bubble.
All right. You saw that at 3:01 p.m. and 48 seconds on February 1st that you texted, quote, very weird that she's been barely interviewed. The whole dead comment was just told. I was supposed to have them talk last night and forgot to tell Proctor to call her. Do you recall that?
I recall it, correct.
All right. And those were your words, correct?
Yes, they are.
May that be displayed?
No, it's in. We may display it later, but I'd like to move this testimony along. So that's in evidence.
And then In that discussion, at 3:03 p.m. and 15 seconds, it was Brian Albert who texted, quote, "Hope they don't think she's making it up after the fact for some reason," end quote. Correct?
Objection.
I'll allow that.
Can you read the timestamp again?
It's the second
page. It's on page 02161.
Oh, I found it.
Yeah,
yes.
It's in the middle. I got that timestamp correct. Correct?
3:03:15.
Correct. I read that accurately. Hope they don't think she's making it up after the fact?
Yes, that's correct.
And then less than a minute later at 3:05 and 32 seconds, you replied, yes, she was hardly interviewed, and I think just answered what was asked. Oh, I'm sorry. Strike that. Strike that whole question. I skipped his next response, which was at 3:05 and 2 seconds, where he said, but if they barely interviewed her, that's on them. Correct?
That's from, from Brian. Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Now, with regard to that exchange, you would agree with me that you were talking about Kerry Roberts being interviewed by Michael Proctor, correct?
I don't want to make an assumption. Do you have the text previous to this that shows that we're referencing Kerry?
I do, and I'll show you that only to refresh your memory.
I don't want to assume something.
I understand. I'm going to show you one page and ask you to look at it silently to yourself.
Okay.
And I've opened the packet to the page.
Okay.
You can just look up at me when you're done.
Yeah, again, my assumption it's Kerry based. Can I go back another page?
Feel free.
Okay, that's what I was looking for.
Yes.
Did those previous pages refresh your memory about the context of your group chat conversation?
Yes, it did.
And certainly it was talking about Kerry Roberts being interviewed, correct?
Yes, it was.
And you were passing along information about that interview to Brian Albert, were you not?
Yes, I was letting him know that Kerry was being interviewed.
And you were telling him things that she was saying, correct? Remember you said the whole dead comment was just told?
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained.
All right, in any case, we're going to move on to the very last discussion that I'd like to ask you about. Earlier that day, February 1st of 2022, at 12:50 p.m. and 37 seconds, Brian Albert texted the group, which would have again been his wife Nicole, your wife Jennifer, and you. And that text was...
Objection, Your Honor.
Okay, so I can't... Which bubble on which page?
02148.
Right. On which page?
That's the page, 02148.
Okay, so I don't have it.
The bubble is the second of the three bubbles.
So I don't have it. I don't know what the objection's pertaining to. Jurors, I apologize that this is taking so long. You know what, Ms. Giannetti, why don't you...
This is that for the court, Your Honor. And for the...
So you're objecting to it, so I'm not going to let you say what it is. You can show it to the witness.
Yes, we'll
do. Which one is this?
Second bubble on 02148. Then the third bubble on 02148. And then the first bubble on 02149. That's all I'll be asking him about.
Thank you.
All right, so I won't allow, based on the objection from the Commonwealth, the second bubble on 02148. I will allow the author of the third bubble. On page 02148.
The second bubble on 02148
is not allowed into evidence.
I need to be heard on that then.
No, all right, I'll hear you at sidebar. Yes, please.
Can I have the jury back, please?
And Mr. Jackson, if you are planning on doing this with the next witness, I'd like you to let Mr. Lally know which ones of these you intend to use so that we can avoid all of this. And if you have a copy from me, that would be helpful for objections. Eddie.
Thank you, Your Honor. Mr. McCabe, when we broke, I was just about to ask you about the last exchange here. You will agree with me that on February 1st of 2022 at 12:51 and 49 seconds, you texted the group chat to say, ask Chris to ask some questions. Correct?
Yep, I'm reading it right now. Yes, okay. That's correct.
And who is the Chris you were referring to?
That would be Chris Albert.
Brian's brother, correct?
That is correct.
And then you then texted your wife, Brian Albert, and Nicole Albert, quote, tell them the guy never went in the house, correct?
Yeah, that's part of the same text. Yes.
Mr. McCabe, who was the guy that you were referring to? Does he have a name?
That would be John. John O'Keefe.
When you told the group to tell them the guy never went in the house, that was you talking about how you should all get your stories straight, correct?
No.
You would agree with me that your stories are all straight in terms of the guy never went in the house, correct?
Objection.
Can you answer that?
John never went in the house. It's not a story, it's a fact.
Yeah. Well, when you said, tell them the guy never went in the house, Brian Albert was on that exchange still, was he not? He was still part of the group text?
Yes, Brian is on the exchange.
And Brian Albert was the one to respond, wasn't he?
Let me switch pages here. 1251.
He responded, did he not?
Yes, he did. Okay.
And then at that point, you knew Brian Albert was the oldest brother of the Albert family, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
The oldest sibling in that family, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And in his response to your instructions that his younger brother, Chris, should say that John O'Keefe never went in the house, or the guy never went in the house, you would agree with me that he responded with one word, correct?
Yes, he did.
And in response to you saying the guy never went in the house, Brian Albert's response was exactly correct?
Yes, that's his response.
All right, we're done here.
All right. Commonwealth, any redirect?
Just briefly, Your Honor.
Now, Mr. McCabe, John O'Keefe never went in the house that night, is that correct?
That's correct.
And from this text communication, as far as Chris Albert was concerned, was Chris Albert ever at the house on that night?
No, he was not.
And this is something that you, obviously, this death of John O'Keefe occurring, how it did, where it did, and why it did, that was something that you discussed.
Can you keep your voice up?
Yes, I'm sorry. This tragic occurrence, as far as what happened to John O'Keefe, his death, where, why, how, that was something that you discussed within your family, is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
And why?
I didn't hear that.
Why was it a discussion in your family?
You're talking about the immediately after? No one knew what happened. John never showed it, never came in the house, so we had no idea what happened to John.
And John was someone you were friends with, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Now, did you ever tell anybody what to say at any point in time to the state police, to any investigator whatsoever?
No.
Did anyone in your family or in your presence ever tell anyone that in front of you?
No.
Now, you asked some questions about when you were looking out and you saw the SUV, correct?
Yes.
And your focus, as you indicated in your testimony, was on the SUV, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Now, during the time that you were looking out, did you ever see a pickup truck outside?
I knew the pickup truck was out there, but again, I didn't look at the pickup. I kind of saw it, but was focusing on the SUV.
And
I saw a vehicle out there, let's say that.
My question is more so, as far as the tire marks that you were talking about in the road, was that before or after the pickup truck was there?
It was after.
Now, you were asked some questions about directionality and things of that nature as far as coming down Chapman or Cedar Crest, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And so if someone had driven by the house, missed the house, and then went on to Cedar Crest, turned around, presumably then they would be taking a left or a right from Cedar Crest onto Fairview, is that right?
Yes, if they passed the house, they would have come to Cedar Crest and turned around and come back onto Fairview.
And you were asked some questions about whether or not you saw Mr. O'Keefe from your vantage point in the SUV, is that correct?
Yes, I was.
You didn't see him, correct?
I did not see him.
Could you see anyone inside from where you were?
I could not see anybody in the vehicle.
Did you see anything about the windows as far as their tint or anything like that?
I don't recall the tint. I couldn't see inside, though.
And as far as any statements that Ms. Nagel made on the way home, is it your testimony that you, Ms. Nagel didn't say those statements or that you didn't hear those statements?
I did not hear those statements.
Now, turning to February 1st, do you recall what you were doing on that day when you drove by Fairview?
I don't recall what I was doing. I don't recall exactly what I did that day.
And were you going specifically by Fairview, or where were you?
Based off of reading these text messages, I was doing something, picking up a car or something, it says. I don't recall where. And I cut down Fairview.
Now, as far as your statement in those text messages where you said, looks like more has been dug up, you recall that?
I don't recall it. I read it in the text message.
Do you recall what that was in regard to? As far as what were they digging?
Sorry. I do recall. They dug out the snow. It looked like the snow banks. It looked like there was more snow dug out around the scene.
And by the scene, you mean around where the flagpole fire hydrant that was?
Correct, yes.
And do you recall any sort of change in the weather between the 29th and February 1st?
I believe the temperature rose. Snow was starting to melt, if I recall.
Now, when you and your wife your wife was talking to Mr. O'Keefe and you were given directions, there was some reference to Bella's house, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And that was sort of used as a directionality as far as Mr. O'Keefe would be familiar with where Bella's house was?
Yes, that's correct.
What, if any, relationship in the past were you aware of between Mr. O'Keefe and Bella, and Bella's mother? I'm sorry.
At some point, Bella's parents were separated, since divorced. At some point, Mr. O'Keefe had a relationship with Bella's mother.
And after that conversation in which that was referenced as far as Bella's house, did you ever hear from John O'Keefe again?
Never heard from him again.
Nothing further.
Anything?
Just very briefly.
Okay.
You were just asked if you ever told anyone, if you told anyone what to tell the state police or investigators, and your answer was no, correct?
Yeah, I don't recall telling anyone to tell anybody anything.
So with regard to your statement, tell them the guy never went in the house, who's the them?
Do you mind if I go back and read?
Take your time.
I think I know. I just want to read it. The them was Channel 4 went into D&E.
You done with your answer?
Yeah, you just asked me who them was.
And the answer is, you were instructing people on the group chat to tell Channel 4 that the guy never went in the house, correct?
Yes, this was on February 1st. As I said, none of us in the house had any idea what happened to John O'Keefe, so we instructed, I was saying, we don't know what happened, he never came in the house.
All right,
that's what was my statement was.
Right. Sir, I didn't ask you for any of that just now, did I?
You just asked me why I said that.
I asked you who the them was.
Jackson, Your Honor.
You didn't. You look like you asked me to elaborate.
Okay. So your answer to my question is, the them was, you were saying that Channel 4 should be told that the guy never went in the house. Yes or no?
Channel 4 was who I was referencing. Yes.
No further questions.
All right, you are all set, Mr. McCabe. I will take those documents.
Thank you very much. Like what, huh?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Your next witness, please, Mr. Lally.
Yes, Your Honor. The call will call Jennifer McCabe to the stand.
Jimmy.
Do you solemn swear the evidence given the court and jury in the case now appearing to be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you. You may take this call.
All right, whenever you're ready, Mr. Lally.
Thank you. Good afternoon, ma'am.
Good afternoon.
Could you please state your name and spell your last name for the jury?
Sure. Jennifer McCabe, McCabe.
And where do you live, ma'am?
Canton.
And how long have you lived in Canton?
Approximately 20, my whole life I lived in Canton, except when I first got married, I lived in Stoughton for a year or two.
And where you live currently in Canton, how long have you lived there?
I live at 12 Country Lane, and I've lived there about 10 years.
And prior to that, where did you live in Canton before Country Lane?
15 Sutcliffe Ave in Canton.
And how long did you live on Sutcliffe?
Approximately 10 years.
And with regard to both addresses, who if anyone, do you live there with?
I live there with my husband, Matt, and my four daughters.
And how old are your four daughters?
15, 16, 18, and 20.
Now, if I could turn your attention to January 28th and to January 29th of 2022, do you recall what days?
I do, yes.
And do you recall what days of the week they were?
Friday and a Saturday.
So starting with Friday, January 28th in the evening, do you recall what was going on that night or where you went? What were you doing?
Well, first I set up at my house for a team dinner for my daughter's hockey team. Then I met up with some parents for my daughter played for the Canton High basketball team. So we met up with some parents before. We had a drink, appetizers. My younger two were with us. We fed them dinner. And then we went on to Canton High School to the basketball game.
Now, starting back, the oldest daughter with the hockey dinner at your house, that was your daughter Allie, is that correct?
Yes.
She's your oldest?
Yes.
Now, the daughter who had the basketball game, is that your second oldest?
Yes.
And with regard to her, she was on the varsity team, is that right?
Yes.
For Canton High School?
Yes.
And with respect to just basketball in general, when the kids were younger, what, if any, role did you have in regard to that?
Yes.
I'll allow it. But then you'll move on quickly.
Of course.
I was a basketball coach for the rec, well, the town program.
For how many years?
I believe with Emily, I started approximately when she was in fifth grade, and then I was also a coach for my daughter Olivia, I think starting when she was in sixth grade. And with my youngest, I think I coached from first grade on, up until eighth grade.
Now, as far as the high school game was concerned, is there a sort of a typical start time for high school basketball game?
Yeah, move on. We know the time. Move on.
After the basketball game, where did you go?
My husband and I dropped my youngest daughter home, and then we proceeded to meet my sister at the waterfall.
And which sister is that?
My sister, Nicole.
How many sisters do you have?
Three.
And do you recall about what time it was that you got to the waterfall?
Approximately 9 o'clock.
And when you say we, who do you mean?
My husband, Matt, and myself.
And do you recall which vehicle that you were in going around Canton that night?
I believe it was my car, yes.
And what kind of car was that?
Denali, Yukon, I think. Denali, yeah.
So bigger type vehicle? Is
that yes, big SUV.
Now, with respect to, you got a cell phone around that time, is that correct?
Yes.
Your cell phone, what, if any, connection did that have between the cell phone and the vehicle?
At that point, I don't think mine was connected. I'm not sure.
Now, when you arrived to the waterfall, did you go right in, or what, if anything, did you do?
I waited a few minutes because my husband was on a phone call.
And at some point, did you and your husband man go in?
Yes.
And when you arrived in the waterfall, where within the waterfall did you go?
We walked in, and I believe we sat at the third table.
And at the time that you arrived, who, if anyone, was there that you were familiar with at that date?
Chris and Julie Albert, Nicole Albert, Caitlin Albert, Tristan Morris.
And at some point shortly after that, or at some point after that, who, if anyone else, came in and joined the group that you were with?
Nick Koulakidis did, and then his wife did a little bit after. And then Brian Albert and Brian Higgins arrived. And then Karen and John arrived.
And prior to Karen and John arriving, who, if anyone from the group, had left?
I believe Tristan left, maybe to go to sleep because he had to plow, I think.
Now, with reference to Karen and John, mm-hmm. We're talking about John O'Keefe and Karen, correct?
Yes.
And how long had you known John?
Approximately 10 years.
And how was it that you first came to know John?
John's sister and her husband lived in the neighborhood, and my daughter became friends with John's niece when they were in kindergarten. And during that kindergarten year, John's sister and then brother-in-law passed away, and John moved in and took care of the kids.
And just for clarity purposes, this would have been when you were living at the home on Sutcliffe?
Yes.
And then after John moved in with his niece and nephew, what, if any, role or what, if any, relationship did you have with either John or his niece specifically?
So my daughter was very good friends with his niece. And so, you know, she would be over all the time. And JJ would come over with Patrick and pick her up. And he would come in and talk to us and hang out.
And how would you describe your relationship with John O'Keefe?
He was my friend. I love John. He was an amazing guy.
Now, with reference to Karen Reed, and just for clarity purposes, do you see Karen Reed in the courtroom today?
Yes, I do.
Did you identify just as to where she's seated or an article?
She's seated between her attorneys.
Do you want to just ask a record to reflect identification?
Yes.
By the witness? Now, with respect to the defendant, Ms. Reed, when was it that you met her?
John had reached out to me saying that he was dating a new girl and that she had MS, and I also have MS, so he said he would like for me to meet her.
And how long have you had MS?
I believe it will be 10 years this October.
And do you recall specifically when around that was, what year, what month, anything like that?
That I met Miss Reed?
Yes,
they came over in July of 2020.
And came over to your house, is that correct?
Yes, they came over to the house. They brought the kids, swam. I have a pool.
Now, over the course of, you were familiar, obviously, that Miss Reed was dating Mr. O'Keefe, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Over the course of time.
Yes. Sorry.
Over the course of time from July of 2020, when you met her, to January of 2022, how often would you see Ms. Reed?
It would vary. You know, there were times that we would bump into them, or depending on their sports, or, you know, for my daughter's birthday party, when it was time to pick up, they'd come over and hang out, or Halloween. It just varied. We have four kids, so we're always kind of in all different directions. Sometimes it depends on what month it is and what team we're with.
And how would you describe your relationship with Ms. Reed?
I enjoyed Ms. Reed. I really liked her. I thought we connected from the beginning. She was very easy to talk to. She had MS, I had MS, and there's not a lot of people our age that I personally know that have it. So it was nice to have someone who understood like what I was going through. So we had that in common.
Now, with respect either starting with Mr. O'Keefe, was your friendship the type where you would have any sort of discussions about his relationship with Ms. Reed or any girls that he dated at any point in time that you were friends with?
At different points, yes.
And what, if anything, specific do you recall him telling you about his relationship with Ms. Reed specifically?
Objection.
I'm going to allow that. I'd like to see counsel at sidebar for just a minute, please.
So, Ms. McCabe, mm-hmm. With regard to Mr. O'Keefe, in his relationship with Ms. Reed, is that something that you spend any real time talking about with Ms. O'Keefe?
No, occasionally. Hey, how are things going? How's she feeling? How's she doing? Very general.
And same sort of question with regard to Ms. Reed. Is that a conversation that you had as far as her relationship with Mr. O'Keefe?
Yes, similar. Mm-hmm.
Now, on that evening, if I could turn you back to the waterfall.
Mm-hmm.
You arrive about 9. About what time was it that you left?
Approximately midnight, a little give or take.
And so during the 3 hours or so that you were there, how would you describe sort of the mood or demeanor of the group that you were with during the time you were there?
Fine, friendly, normal, typical night, you know, just out having a drink, listening to music.
And you mentioned about 11 o'clock or so was that Mr. O'Keefe and Ms. Reed came into the bar?
Correct.
And when they came into the bar, where did they go in relation to where you were?
They came right over and talked to the group that we were with.
And when Mr. O'Keefe and the defendant came over, what, if anything, did you observe the defendant do or have with her when she came?
Oh, she had brought a glass with her and kind of took it out of her coat and just kind of chuckled about it.
What, if anything, did you observe about the glass?
I believe it had ridges on it.
And what, if anything, did you observe as far as what was in the glass?
It was clear.
Was there any other kind of like a straw or a lime or anything like that?
I don't remember.
As far as you knew, at some point did you become aware of where Mr. O'Keefe and Ms. Reed had been prior to coming over to the waterfall?
Yes.
And where were
they? C.F. McCarthy's.
Where is that in location to the waterfall?
Just right up the street.
Now, over the course of the evening, you were at a bar. Fair to say you were drinking, is that right?
Yes.
Do you recall specifically what you were drinking?
I think beer.
And same question with regard to Mr. O'Keefe. Do you recall him drinking? And if so, what, if anything, was he drinking?
I can't be certain. Possibly a beer, but I can't be certain.
And with respect to Ms. Reed, same question as far as... Do you recall her drinking, and if so, what, if anything, do you recall her?
Again, I remember just a clear glass, glass with a clear liquid in it.
Any different glass beyond the one that you've already testified about, or not?
I don't remember, sorry.
Now, when you left the waterfall sometime around midnight, is that correct?
Yes.
And well, let me ask you this first. I'm sorry. So with respect to the time that you were at the waterfall, did you speak with Mr. O'Keefe?
Yes, briefly at the bar.
And do you recall just generally what it was that you talked about?
Yes, his niece had just gotten into Bishop Feehan, so he was very excited.
And with respect to Miss Reed, did you speak to her at the bar?
Yes.
And do you recall what, if anything, that you spoke about?
Yes.
And what was that?
Karen had shared a little bit of frustration that morning. Or one morning she had taken Kaylee to Dunkin' Donuts and John, you know, was frustrated, didn't, you know, saying don't take her, she's going to, you know, make a habit of it, meaning like she's going to come to expect it every day. And then we just talked about how, you know, challenging it is with kids. And, you know, she mentioned that that's kind of all they have a fight about. And I said, yeah, well, welcome to parenthood, you know. And, you know, she just was a little bit frustrated. Felt like the family needed to be doing more to help, and she just wished she had, you know, more time, just her and John. But again, it was just, you know, girlfriend to girlfriend kind of venting.
Now, as far as Mr. O'Keefe was concerned, what, if any, observations did you make as to how he was dressed?
Baseball hat, jeans, that's what I remember.
Do you recall any sort of winter coat or heavier coat or anything like that?
No.
Now, over the course of the evening at the waterfall, what, if any, discussion was there amongst the group as far as going somewhere next or what to do after the waterfall?
Karen had asked Chris if we could go up to D&E. She wanted to go up to D&E and have him cook some food.
And was that something that was brought up by the defendant once, or more than once, or something else?
Many times.
And what was sort of the response from the group in regard to going to D&E and making food?
So Ryan, Chris, and Matt do this annual weight loss challenge every year, and it was in the midst of that, so they were like, no, you know, we can't go up there, we're not going to eat, we'll do it another time.
Now, following that conversation, what, if any, other, let me ask you this, why did you go to the waterfall in the first place?
So I went to meet my sister, Nicole. She was heading there because she was going to go have a drink with her. Her son was going to have some friends and then meet out. So I was going to meet them for a drink for my nephew's birthday.
To be clear, that nephew was Brian Albert Jr., is that right?
Yes.
And did Brian Albert Jr. ever show up at the waterfall that evening?
He did not, no.
Do you know why not?
Brian suffers from anxiety, and during that time period, he was really struggling.
So he decided to stay home?
He just decided to stay home, yes.
And so after the discussion about going over to D&E and then the communication of not going over, what, if any, other discussion was had as to where people were going or what was happening after leaving the waterfall?
Brian Albert Sr. Just made a general, hey, I'm going to go home, have a drink with Brian if anyone would like to come.
And was that something that was just to certain people, or was it expressed at the table, or how was that expressed?
It was expressed to everyone, like, hey, we're going to go back home, have a beer with Brian if anyone would like to come.
Now, after that was sort of put out to the table, what, if any, discussion did you have in regard to that with either Mr. O'Keefe, Ms. Reed, or both?
Both of them. I said, oh, you guys should come. Do you want to come?
And did they indicate that that was something that they wanted to do, or did they indicate that they were coming?
They both wanted to come, and they said they were coming, yes.
Now, when you left the waterfall, who, if anyone, left with you or left at the same time?
I believe I walked out with Karen. I know I walked out with Karen, and I believe Ms. Kolakidis as well.
Prior to you leaving, your sister Nicole and her husband Brian, had they left prior to you leaving?
Yes.
And so you're walking out with the defendant and Ms. Kolakidis, is that right?
Yes.
And when you were walking out with them, what, if anything, was the sort of conversation or the discussion as you were walking out the door?
Well, Matt and John were still inside. So at one point I said, oh, Karen, why don't you just come with me? Figuring, because, you know, Matt can talk to anyone, and God knows how long he was going to stay in there. So I was just like, hey, do you want to drive with me and they can meet us?
Your husband's a talker, is that correct?
Yes.
Now, as far as the car that you had parked there before, where was that parked in relation to the waterfall?
I believe I had to kind of walk straight out.
In the parking lot?
In the parking lot, yes.
And after you had exited from the waterfall, at some point did you observe Mr. O'Keefe come out as well?
Yes, he did.
And did you have any conversation with him in the parking lot while you were out there?
I believe briefly, Karen, him, and I all spoke, yes.
Do you recall briefly what you spoke about?
Them coming back to Fairview.
And after sort of the two of you parted ways, did you observe where Mr. O'Keefe and the defendant went?
I just saw them they walked left, I walked straight.
And if one were to walk left in the direction they were walking, where would that bring them to?
Washington Street, the main street.
So you went over then to your car in the parking lot?
Yes.
And while you were in your car in the parking lot, well, let me ask you this first. When you walked out of the waterfall, what, if anything, was different about the weather from when you had walked?
It had started to snow.
And as far as the snow was concerned, what was that initial point when you walked out of the waterfall? Was it accumulating or anything like that?
Yes, I would say, you know, it was starting to cover the car, so you'd have to put your windshield wipers on to clear it.
So you didn't have to get the scraper out or anything like that, just flip on the windshield?
Flip on the windshield wipers. I probably was lazy and just rolled the windows down to get it off the windows.
And so you're in the car at some for some period of time waiting for your husband, correct?
Yes.
And about how long is it that you're waiting for your husband before he comes out?
Actually, it wasn't long. I think I turned the car on, and then I saw him walking, and I pulled up.
And while you're waiting for your husband, or shortly after he gets to the car, what if any communication did you receive at that point?
I received a text from John saying where to.
And with respect to that, did you respond in kind via text, or how did you respond, if at all, to Mr. O'Keefe?
I was driving, so I called him.
And when you called him, if you know, was that something that was done through Bluetooth with regard to the car, or?
Yes, it would have been, because it was my phone and I was driving, so I would have had it over the car.
So your phone would have been paired up with your phone?
Yes, I plugged it in when I got it. I always plug my phone in when I get in, if I'm driving.
And with your husband in the car, it's fair to say that he could hear both sides of the conversation as far as you and Mr. O'Keefe?
Yes.
And so that initial call that you placed to Mr. O'Keefe, is that done while you're driving?
Yes.
And what, if anything, were you telling him as far as that initial call was concerned?
He had asked for the address. He said, where to? I gave him the address. And then I believe I, you know, just started giving him directions, and I actually think Matt spoke over me and was saying, go this way, go this way. And then I said, yeah, you just go down to Fairview. It's at the bottom.
And so as far as the directions, do you recall anything specifically about what you told Mr. O'Keefe as far as where the directions were?
Well, he actually called back a second time. And when he called back a second time, I instructed him that it was by a friend's house. His niece and my daughter's friend, and I said, oh, just, it's right, you know, go past Bella's street. It's at the bottom of the hill.
And before we get to that, just as far as that initial phone call, essentially Fairview Road, you're familiar with?
Yes.
And it's where your sister lives with her family, correct?
Yes.
And if I could just ask, with regard to your sister's husband, Brian, how long have you known him?
Since I was in kindergarten. Very long time.
So they had dated for some period of time before they got married, and they'd been married for some significant period of time.
Yeah, she had a crush on him for years. Then they dated, I think, for 10 years and before they got married. So, yeah, they've been together most of my life.
So you're familiar with Fairview in the sense that there's, on one end of it is Chapman and one end of it is Cedarcrest, correct?
Correct.
And just in that initial phone call that you had with Mr. O'Keefe, and you and your husband are giving directions, you recall if you were indicating to him to go to Cedarcrest or go to Chapman in order to get onto Fairview?
Go to Chapman.
And is that the way that you went as far as going from Washington Street downtown to Fairview?
Yes.
Now, how long a drive is that going from the waterfall to Fairview Road?
Approximately 5+ minutes, depending on if you hit lights.
Now, if you're indicating you're indicating to someone to come down Chapman, and you said it was, I'm sorry, your testimony is it's sort of towards the end from that direction?
The end of Fairview, the bottom of Fairview.
And that's to my point as far as the bottom. Mm-hmm. Any kind of incline or decline, or how does the road sort of situated as you come from the Chapman side down to where your sister lived at 34 Fairview?
It's a hill.
And the hill goes down, is that correct?
Yes.
Is that somewhat of a precipitous? How would you describe sort of the hill?
Well, the first hill is a bit steep, and then it flattens a little, and then there's another hill. But the second hill is more long.
So there's actually two hills as you're going down, correct?
Yes.
Now, you mentioned the second call. Mr. O'Keefe then calls you?
Yes.
And about how much time elapsed between when you first talked to Mr. O'Keefe and the second?
Approximately 4 or 5 minutes tops.
During either call that you had with Mr. O'Keefe, could you hear anything? You had it on Bluetooth, correct?
Yes.
Could you tell whether or not he was connected to a Bluetooth? Could you hear anything in the background?
I couldn't know.
And as far as when you were speaking to Mr. O'Keefe, did he express an intent that he was going to the house at Fairview?
Yes, it was. He was driving there and he was trying to find it.
And when he indicated that he was trying to find it, was he expressing that in singular or plural or something else?
No, more general. Like, where is it? Type.
Did he make any reference during the time that you were talking to him to anyone he was with?
No.
And now, as far as this second call, you indicated, what did you use exactly as sort of a geographic locator?
My daughter and his niece's very close friend lives on a side street off of Fairview. So I just said, go past Bella Street, and it's at the bottom.
And Bella is someone that, through his niece, John O'Keefe would have known, correct?
Correct.
Now, at this time, what, if any, relationship were you aware of between Bella's mother and John O'Keefe?
They had dated
No, I'm going to allow it.
They had dated briefly years before.
Now, was that sort of the substance of the conversation that you had with Mr. O'Keefe? And that second phone call?
Yes.
Now, after that second phone call, did you speak to Mr. O'Keefe on the phone at any point in time after that?
No.
Now, you arrived at the house on Fairview. Do you recall where you parked when you got there?
Yes, pulled into the driveway.
And the driveway at the house of Fairview essentially has two garage doors, is that correct?
Yes.
Sort of widens out as you get to the top closer to the house?
Yes.
Do you recall where in relation to the driveway was that you parked when you got there?
I just remember pulling in, there was definitely a car in front of me. There possibly could have been a car to the left.
You exit the vehicle, go into the house, correct?
Correct.
When you get to the house, who, if anyone, do you observe in the house?
When I walk in, Caitlin Albert, Brian Albert, Julie Nagel, and Sarah Levinson are all sitting at the kitchen table. My sister Nicole was in the kitchen wiping the counters because she's always cleaning. And Brian Albert and Brian Higgins were in the, I guess you'd call it the TV room area, just standing and talking.
And ma'am, I'm sorry, I'm just having a little trouble hearing you. So
oh, okay.
That microphone, you can adjust that any way you want, so anywhere you want to put that.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. And so when you come into the house, where were, you mentioned a table, where were people situated?
In the kitchen.
Now, with respect to what was going on at the house throughout the course of the evening that you were.
I sat at the table and I just spoke to Brian and Katie and the two girls most of the night.
And just so we're clear, when you're talking about Brian, that's Brian Albert Jr. or Little Brian?
Yeah, Little Brian. Yeah, Little Brian.
Now, as far as at any point in time when you were at the house, you familiar with a gentleman named, someone named Colin Albert?
I am, yes.
How do you know him?
He is my friend's son and my sister's nephew.
Your friend Julie's son, correct?
Yeah, so my friend Julie's son.
And your oldest daughter, Allie, was Colin friends, or is Colin friends with your oldest daughter, Allie?
Yes, they're born a week or two apart, and we've kind of just, they've done everything together. They're very good friends.
Now, at any point in time that you were there on that early morning, did you see Colin Albert at all?
No.
And when you arrived at the house, obviously you're familiar with your daughter and the car that she drives around that time. Did you see your daughter there, Allie, at any point in time?
No.
Were you aware at any point in time in that early morning hour that you were there that your daughter had been there at any point in time prior?
Sustained.
Now, with reference to the home, at any point in time, did John O'Keefe ever come inside the house that night?
No.
During the time that you were there, let me ask more specifically, about how long a period of time was it that you were there, or about what time did you leave?
I believe I left approximately around 1:30, 1:45, approximately.
And do you know about what time it was that you arrived there?
I'd say approximately somewhere between 12:20, 12:30. Well, 12:20, I believe. 12:20-ish, because the last call from John, when I went back and looked, was 12:18.
Now, similar to what I asked about the waterfall, as far as the sort of mood, demeanor inside the house, what, if anything, do you recall with respect to that?
Good. Everybody was in a good mood. There was no, Brian and Brian were talking. My sister was cleaning. I was talking with the kids. You know, just a normal night.
Now, while you were in the kitchen dining room area for the time that you were there, did you see anybody or observe anybody from the group that you just described go anywhere else in the house as far as away from that area?
Julie Nagel went outside.
So beyond Julie Nagel going outside, did you see anybody else go upstairs, downstairs, to a basement area, or anywhere else in the house?
No.
Now, given that you, when you were in the car and you were driving, you hooked your phone up to the charger, is that right?
Yes.
Do you recall charging your phone at any point in time when you were at your sister's house on Fairview that night?
I don't recall.
You mentioned Julie Nagel, Sarah Levinson, were those people that you knew prior to that night of the 28th?
I was familiar with who Sarah Levinson was, maybe had run into her at different points. Julie Nagel was closer to Brian, so I would see her. I think she's dog sat for me when I've been away, like Brian will do it, but then if he's not available, Julie will do it. I don't know if she had dog sat for me before then or right after then, but I was definitely familiar with Julie, and she possibly could have dog sat for me prior to that.
And now with reference, there was also someone there by the name of Brian Higgins, is that correct?
Correct.
And that is also someone who was there prior to you getting there, is that right?
Yes.
And what, if anything, did you know about Mr. Higgins, or did you know him prior to that?
I had met him a few times. He's Brian Albert's friend.
So other than being your brother-in-law's friend and meeting him a couple times, you didn't really know him that well, fair to say?
Fair, yes.
Now, you mentioned at some point that Julie went outside, right?
Yes.
Nagel went outside?
Yes.
And do you know what she was going outside for?
Yes, her brother had come to pick her up. And so she was going to go tell him, you know, try to get him to come in.
And what, if any, conversation did you have with Ms. Nagel or Ms. Levinson in regard to their going home prior to Ms. Nagel going out and talking to her brother?
Objection.
I'll sustain it in that form.
What, if anything, had you said to Ms. Nagel prior to her going out prior to her going outside?
Objection.
Sustained.
Now, if you know, about how long was Ms. Nagel outside?
I believe it was just a few minutes.
And at any point in time while Ms. Nagel was outside, what, if anything, were you?
Excuse me?
So when Ms. Nagel went outside, what were you?
I was sitting at the table, and then my nephew had said another car was out there.
And after your nephew said that, what, if anything, did you do that?
I went to the front door.
And front door of the home leads sort of, you walk in there, there's a foyer and a staircase in front of you?
Yes.
And as far as the front door was concerned, is there any sort of other door that's, is it just sort of the wooden front door, or is there another door in front of it?
The door was open, so it was just a storm door.
And the storm door is made out of glass, is that correct?
Yes.
So when you went over to the storm door and looked out, what, if anything, did you see?
I saw a vehicle.
And can you describe the vehicle that you saw?
I saw a dark SUV.
And as far as Ms. Nagel, did you make any observations of where she was when you looked outside?
I kind of just looked at the vehicle, and then I saw lights kind of over to this side. But then once I saw the vehicle, I took out my phone and I texted John.
And just so we're clear, as far as when you say this side, so you're standing at the storm door,
mm-hmm.
see the vehicle, and where is the vehicle in relation to you and where you're standing at the storm door?
It was straight ahead.
Now, the headlights that you were saying is sort of off to the side. From mm-hmm. your perspective, looking out at the street, is that to the left, to the right, or something else?
Left.
And as far as this dark SUV that you saw, could you tell anything else about it as far as the make or model, or did you recognize it at all?
No.
Now, at this time on January 29th, 2022, were you familiar with any sort of vehicles that Mr. O'Keefe had?
Yes.
And what kind of vehicles did he have?
Gosh, I don't know the brand. It's, you know, it was a small SUV type.
Do you recall, like, what color it was?
His might have been grayish. I'm not 100% sure.
And any other vehicles that he may have had?
Yes, he had this old-fashioned car that he loved, but Kaylee is so embarrassed of it. But yeah, he had that as well.
Now, as far as Ms. Reed was concerned, were you familiar with what kind of vehicle she had at that time?
Yes.
And what kind of vehicle were you generally aware of her driving?
She had a Lexus.
And was that a sedan or an SUV, or what kind of vehicle was that?
I think it was like a small SUV.
Now, the vehicle that you saw outside of the residence at Fairview when you mm-hmm. looked out the storm door, was that consistent with what you knew Ms. Reed to be driving at that time?
Yes.
Now, as far as that vehicle was concerned, at any point in time over the course of the evening, did you see anyone exit that vehicle or come out of that vehicle at all?
No.
Certainly never saw anybody exit that vehicle and walk over and come inside the house?
Sustained.
As far as that vehicle, when you first saw it, could you tell whether or not it was running or anything like that?
It was running, yes. I could, I could tell it was running. It had the taillights. I could see the red.
I'm going to actually keep your voice up, okay?
Okay, sorry.
Now, in addition to the taillights that you saw, could you see the headlights or anything like that?
Yes, the headlights were on.
And as far as the interior of the vehicle, were there any lights on inside the vehicle that you saw at any point in time?
No.
And as far as the windows of the vehicle, what, if anything, did you observe as far as their coloration? Was it tint or anything like that that you saw?
Didn't observe, no.
Now, you see the vehicle sort of straight ahead of the front door, and then you pull out your phone to text Mr. O'Keefe, correct?
Correct.
Do you recall what you texted to him at that point?
I think I said here, ?
You think you said here, is that correct?
Yes.
Your Honor, may I approach?
Yes. Show Mr. Jackson, okay.
May I approach the witness, Sean?
Yes.
Mr. Kim, I'm showing you a three-page document. Just ask you to look at that and look over.
Okay.
Just generally speaking, that three-page document, do you recognize the contents of that?
I do.
What do you recognize it to be?
It's my text messaging with John.
So from sort of the early part of the 28th and around midnight the 29th through the entirety of the 29th.
Yes.
May I approach you, Your
Honor? Yes. Is there any objection, Mr. Jackson?
May I approach, Mr.
Okay.
More raw courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed is coming up from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Press subscribe so you don't miss a minute.